The question today is, what is the condition of every lost man? The Bible is very clear about that. If we'll study and rightly divide, Ephesians is a good place to look at for the beginning. When it says in Ephesians chapter 2, and of course, and he says in you, and he's talking to the saints at Ephesus. We know that from Ephesians chapter 1, where he wrote to the saints in chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus. Now, the saints are those who are saved. And so he's writing to them and speaking to them what they were like before they were saved. And this is what he says. Now, let's read all three of these verses, and we'll try to summarize what's the condition of every lost man. It says in you, in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so there he outlines a small outline, I guess you could say, of the condition of the saints at Ephesus, of what they were like when they were lost. And first the thing it says about them is that they were dead. And that's what every man is, dead. Dead means to be separated from God. The word death is just a separation, is all it is. And it came because of the fact every man's born that way, separated from God, because of the fact of Adam sinned in the garden. The Bible says that when Adam sinned, God said, "The day you eat of that tree, you'll die." And he did die that day, spiritually separated from God. He lived 900 and some odd years before he died physically, but he began the process of the physical death, but still he died spiritually. He was separated from God and was lost and needed a Savior, and the Lord, of course, worked to work in his life there in the Garden of Eden and saved him, but still he was dead, and he passes that death, or that death is passed on to every man. We're born dead spiritually. Now, we know that we're safe to reach a knowledge of accountability. We've dealt with that before in some previous question. But man is dead. And that's every lost man is dead. And he's so dead that he's without strength. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 6, he says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The word "without strength" is where we get a word, the Greek word behind that is where we get our word anesthesia, which means if we are under anesthesia in the hospital for an operation, that we lose our senses or consciousness to the world, our sense of smell and taste and see and hear and touch and those things. We lose those five senses of the body because we lose world consciousness because of the anesthesia. And so if a man is without strength and under the anesthesia of sin, he has no consciousness toward God. So as a result, he's dead. A dead man has no consciousness toward God, and he's dead spiritually. He has not the five senses of the spirit. They're dead, and there's no hope. There's no love. There's no fear. There's no faith. There's no worship involved in those that man. He has no consciousness toward God until God stirs in his life and awakens. It's like a conception, that birth, even though the birth has not taken place yet. There is conception 9 months before the baby's born. Life begins there, so there's a stirring inside, and that person then begins to have a consciousness toward God. But until that point, he's dead, separated from God, and without strength. In fact, the business, he's not only dead, but he is dominated. He's dominated by three different things that we spoke of here in these verses. Every lost man is. It said in verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh." Now, we're dominated by the world, the prince of the air, which is the devil, and the flesh. Now, the reason for that domination is because we're influenced to make the wrong choices. We choose wrong because of our upbringing, because of our influences, because of what we've been taught, because of our own nature, our old sinful Adamic nature. And if the Lord doesn't help us, we'll all remain in that condition. But we're dominated. under control, in a sense, by the world. He talks about we walked according to the course of this world. That course of this world is the spirit of this age, and the spirit of this age is rebellion. And that's where every person is, that's lost. We also walked according to the course, to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil, who's in charge of all the demons of the air. And we have a Lord. It's Lord Satan, if you please, at that point in time. And so, therefore, we're in that condition, dominated by the devil because of our influence to the point of control. We're also dominated by the flesh. Flesh wants to do this, wants to do that. And so as a result, we're dominated by those things. Now, we're also deceived. The Bible speaks about the fact that if our gospel be hid, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, verse 4 says of 2 Corinthians 4, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Means that the devil does not want the light of God to shine down in our heart and illuminate our real need and illuminate the fact that we need Jesus. And so, therefore, we're deceived. We're blinded. Jeremiah 17:9 said, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know our own heart. We're deceived. In fact, the business, as we think about whatever lost man is before he's saved, we use the word depraved. That means corrupted. In fact, we're totally depraved. We're totally corrupted to the core. There's no good in any man. Somebody thinks that maybe they'll make heaven because of the goods within them, but we don't have any good within us because we're conceived in sin. We're born in sin. The Bible tells us that in the book of Psalms. And therefore, we're sinners by nature, and then we're sinners by choice because we're totally depraved, totally corrupted, dead and dominated and deceived, but also we're doomed. It says there in Ephesians 2:3, we're a child of wrath, child of disobedience in Ephesians 2:2, but then it said a child of wrath. It means that over the head of every person there is a hanging, a judgment, the wrath of God hanging over every person. And the Bible tells us about this to a degree in John 3:36. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but hath the wrath of God abideth on him. And that word abideth means continuous action verb. It's continually hanging over our head like a dark cloud. And God is good to us not to let that cloud burst and destroy us. The wrath of God. We're doomed. We are dead. We are depraved. We're dominated because of influence. We're deceived. We're doomed. And the sad thing about the lost man, he doesn't even know he's lost. He doesn't even know that. And the sad part about the saved, or at least many of the saved, I'll put it this way, the real saved, may not be this way so much as those who profess to be saved, but many of them don't care. There's not really the care that they need to have for the lost and dying world. Jesus, as our example, he was moved with compassion by the multitudes when he saw them as a sheep having no shepherd. And therefore, he's our example. We need to care. But that's the condition of every lost man. In other words, he is dead. He is dominated to the extent of control. He is deceived. He's doomed. He's depraved. But he's also dear to the Lord. He's dear to the Lord. See, right after, every time God paints a dark picture, he turns around and paints a good picture. Because he said in Ephesians 2:1, 2, and 3, we just read, it paints a dark picture of deadness and domination and deception and depravity and doomed, if you please. But, and then verse 4 says, but God, there's your contrast, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved. So every lost sinner is dear unto the Lord. He's dear to the Lord because he said, but God. In other words, we were that condition, in a sad condition, lost and separated from God, no consciousness for God, no hope within ourselves. In fact, he said in the book of Ephesians 2, he goes on to say, talking about us Gentiles, and that's true of a lost person, that represents of a lost person in that sense, when he says here, he said in verse 12 of Ephesians 2, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, by the way, if you don't have Christ, you're none of his. The Bible said in First John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So he said, you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, there's your but again, there's the dear to the Lord. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But the lost man is still afar off. He has no hope. He's without. He's in a terrible situation. But God, who loves us, and the Bible said in Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You realize something, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It's not just preaching on hell or the meanness of God that leads you to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And he lets us know, and he said it's longsuffering. The word longsuffering means to suffer long with those who are injurious to the Lord. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, for when we were yet sinners, in other words, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means we're not only sinners by nature, we're sinners by choice, actively engaged in sin against the holy God, and God loved us enough to die for us on Calvary. That's why he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God, in his goodness, is holding back that cloud of wrath. He's keeping it from raining all over us, wrath, if you please, and judgment. And that's God's goodness. Even though he suffers long with us, even though we're injurious toward our Lord, and therefore he forbears, holds back that wrath. That's God's goodness. That means we're dear to the Lord. He loved us that much. And so we ought to be thankful for that. Now, we're living in a day when people don't believe that wrath is there. But you realize I could use the expression, we live close to Kentucky Dam, and the expression we would use that if that dam wasn't there, if that dam was to break, there would be about a 50 foot of headwater at certain times of the year that would head down the Tennessee River into the Ohio at the mouth of Broadway in Paducah, and literally wash Paducah off the map. If God in his goodness didn't hold back that wrath, it would literally wash us into hell instantly. But God is good to every sinner, every lost man. His condition is he's dead. He's dominated to the extent of control. He's depraved. He's deceived. He's doomed. And he don't even know it. And others don't care many times, but he's dear to the Lord, and the Lord cares, because he died on Calvary that we might have life. And he's holding back that wrath, and his goodness is giving us a space of repentance that we might come to him and have, who had no hope, now can have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.